What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
Since winning the fifth series of Australian Idol, Natalie Gauci has been in the studio recording her debut album, The Winner's Journey. The album's a re-recording of songs she performed on Australian Idol. The first single from the album, Here I Am, has already gone gold. She's in Perth for a flying visit and she joins me in the studio now. Natalie Gauci, welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Thank you.
So good to have you here. Your musical journey, of course, began a long time before Idol. Give us a bit of the background of what sort of music you were doing before the Idol program began.
Well, when I started singing, my first big break was when I got a scholarship into the VCA, which is like a performing arts school in Melbourne. And I learnt pretty much everything about music there. I started with, you know, amazing jazz singer, amazing classicals teacher as well. And then after that, I formed a band, a jazz band, and we were kind of gigging around Melbourne doing that. And I was studying as well. And then I decided to actually do it professionally, which meant that, you know, I'd have to make a lot of sacrifices and kind of live off no money for a while, you know, and borrow some off mum every now and again. And and I was doing a bit of waitressing just to make some extra cash. And basically I was doing covers and gigging, doing original stuff, but that came later. So I was working doing covers for probably about 3 or 4 years before I had the courage to get a CD happening and start doing the original thing, because I've always been writing, but I never really had the courage to get it out there. It's just so nerve-wracking, you know. So after I released my first EP called Take It or Leave It, which was last year in April, I travelled a little bit towards the end of the year and went to LA and did a gig there at the in Hollywood. The place was called the Genghis Cohen Restaurant, and it was like a little chapel, and like behind the restaurant. And it was really beautiful venue. It was pretty much set out like a chapel, and they had, you know, a little stage at the front, and there were five of us from Australia. And it was like an Oz City song circle. So five of us were on the stage and we all sang one song each and described the song, spoke to the audience. And in the audience, there were like industry people. And it was the first time I'd ever gigged doing original stuff. And I got to do it in another country. So it was kind of weird. But it opened my eyes up to the fact that you have to have your own story and you have to be doing stuff in your own country. So it's really important to, I learned it was really important to represent who you are from your country rather than trying to be something in another country, you know what I mean? Not that I was doing that. I was still representing Australia, but I don't really have a story. Like, I didn't have anything to say. So I was like, yeah, I do covers and stuff in Melbourne. So now they're like, now that I've done Idol and you know, that I won and everything, it's been a lot of hype in other countries like about it. So now I can go and tell a story.
Of course, one of the criticisms that Idol can tend to attract is that it takes people who really don't have a lot of background in music and makes them a star, and you miss out on that whole apprenticeship. And yet time and time again, those people that continue to go through to the finals and win Idol are people who do have a musical background. And you know, you've certainly done that. You've been working on your music and your craft for years before Idol ever came along.
Yeah, I think the public aren't silly. They know exactly what's going on. They can tell, you know, when an artist has been working hard, and I think it comes across not only in the music but in the work ethic that comes across on the show. So, and I think I realised that with Guy Sebastian. Like, I knew straight away that he was a muso, and that you could just tell, I could feel that he'd done that. And same with Shannon Knoll as well. So, yeah.
When you talk about that work ethic, of course, we see the glamour of the Sunday night performances and then a little bit of what goes on through the rest of the week on the Monday night program. But mostly, I guess we don't see what really goes on behind the scenes. So for the rest of the week, while Idol is going on, I guess it's a lot of hard work in getting those songs just right.
Yeah, well, the truth of it is we hardly got any time to practice our songs. So we'd have our little iPods and be in the bus travelling around practicing our songs on the bus, you know? Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So everyone's practicing their own song.
Yes, yep, like humming their thing. And it's like we all know what song each other are doing, because I can hear Carl singing his swing song and Tarasai belting out her song. And, you know, and if we weren't singing, we were not talking just to save our voices. So it was pretty hilarious. A lot of work. It was it became almost like Groundhog Day, to be honest, like Sunday night's show and Sunday day you'd rehearse. Like, we don't just, this is one thing I haven't really mentioned, but we didn't just do the show. Like, all day we'd have to do 3 in the morning of the songs. If we did 2 songs, we'd have to do it, you know, 3 times each. So that's 6 performances in the morning just to get a sound check, right? And then after lunch, we'd go in to do the dress rehearsal. But before the dress rehearsal, we did 2 performances as a practice for the dress rehearsal. Mm. By the time the dress rehearsal's over, you're really tired and you're just like, oh my God, I have to do a show now. So it's like, it takes a lot of stamina, and you definitely learn all about the industry. So it's a good experience.
It was an interesting journey for you, because originally the public didn't vote you through to be in the final 24, and then you got brought back for the wild card show, and even then the public said no. But obviously the judges saw something more. What do you think it was that the judges saw in you that eventually the public did catch on to?
I think they saw a lot in the audition. I think that when I auditioned, I was very confident. I played an original song. I was pretty spontaneous in my song choice. Like, I just went in with the original song choice. I didn't actually have anything else in mind, and I just thought of stuff on the spot. I was just like, oh, they want to hear a song? Okay, I will survive. And then I just did it. So I think they liked that, and I had, you know, pretty chirpy personality and stuff. And then as soon as the show came on, I just freaked out. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do this, because it was so much like pumped on TV about me and about, you know, oh, the girl with the voice who can play piano. And oh, I just didn't know if I could do it. So
well,
it took
me
a while.
You were the girl with the voice who could play piano, but I guess you were that before, and you were gigging around the place, and some people knew your music, but it's gone from that to the point where now the whole of Australia knows who you are. And I mean, there are forums online where people discuss just how much they love you and your music. It must be kind of bizarre.
Yeah. Sometimes I just have to vague out to try and just, you know, sit back and figure out what's going on, because there are times where, I mean, I'm a people person, so it doesn't bother me at all when people come and talk to me, and, you know, I actually really enjoy that part of it. So I guess the thing that shocks me is that people like my music, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I get to release a studio album after my tour and, you know, do originals, and I get to perform originals on my tour, and people like it and they've been asking for more. And I just find that so amazing, like really honoured that people like it.
Natalie, it's certainly been a bit of a roller coaster ride, I guess, over the last few months, going from someone that is known to friends and family and the people that have seen you perform to suddenly everyone knows who you are. Is that kind of a bit freaky when you walk down the street and people recognise you?
It's been happening quite a bit lately. When I was on the show, it didn't really happen that much, because I guess Matt, he just had this hair and stuff, and everybody kind of like just recognised him and didn't realise that I was even there. So I was cool with it, though. Like, it didn't bother me. But I was kind of expecting it to stay that way, and it just hasn't. It's been like the total opposite, which is great. I mean, it just means that people are paying attention and they're, you know, enjoying the music and the album and everything. And it's just like, I'll be walking down the street and people will come up and just say, oh, Nat, can I... Oh, this is my daughter. Can you speak to my daughter on the phone? And I'm like, oh, okay, sure. Hi, Michaela. How are you going?
So I mean, it sounds
strange.
Sounds like you're having a lot of fun. And I guess, you know, as the weeks went on and you're still there and you're still there, at what point did you start to believe I might actually do this?
It was more like every week, oh, I'll have to be going home this week. Oh, I'm definitely going home this week. It just, yeah, that was the way I kept on thinking about it, because I guess you have to get to a point, right? And this was at Top 4, where we all had to listen to the demo of the single and try and, you know, get it into our heads about how we were going to perform it. And that's when you think, okay, I might not be here next week, but I have to think that I'm going to be, because you have to plan. You have to start planning the, you know, the opera house. So that was when I had to just kind of sit down and go, okay, well, I have to accept that I could possibly win. I could possibly get to the Opera House, and I would love to. So you're working towards that. And it wasn't till Top 3 that I found out that that I got through to the Opera House, because you work so hard. It was just like a an outburst of joy and relief, you know, that I got through. And to me, it was just like a whole weight had been lifted off my shoulders that I got through. And it was that point where I just thought, okay. And I just relaxed and just went with it. It was bizarre.
And of course, there comes for, I guess, each performer a defining moment as far as performance goes. Was there one particular night that really you feel that started for you to move on towards the final?
Yes, that's a good question. Big band night, I think.
That's the one I would have picked.
Yes. Yep. Something happened to me that night. It was the first day that I actually had a bit of a cry during the day on the Sunday, and I think I was just had a lot of emotional build-up of everything, and everyone has their time where they have to have a bit of a breakdown, and that was my day. And I spoke to Mum on the phone and had a bit of a cry, and she's just like, Nat, there's so many people in Melbourne here supporting you, so many people all over Australia supporting you, Nat. She said, just sing to them, sing to the people who have voted for you. And I just thought that was so nice, and she just made me feel so happy. And then I just got out there and I thought of that and then connected with the song. And I think also it helped because I had, because it was jazz night as well, and I just love jazz, so I just got totally into it.
Well, that was fairly obvious that you loved it. And I guess for me, I'd been sort of watching bits and pieces of Idol throughout the series and thinking, yeah, they're talented. Yeah, this person could go further. But I guess I didn't really have a lot invested in it. I didn't feel strongly one way or the other. Along came the big band night, and I thought, for you and Matt, if you two didn't go through to the Opera House, there would be something seriously wrong. You just absolutely proved that, you know, you were the standouts. And I guess, you know, it was such a delight to see both you guys to really embrace that big band and to be able to do something like that. I guess for you, it was one of those nights that you came away thinking, I nailed it.
Yeah, it was. It was when at the end of the night, I was just thinking, "Oh my God, did I just do that? Did that just happen?" And when I saw it the next day, I fully was really, really impressed with it. I was really proud. And Matt was also, he was very proud.
Good, good. Well, you're going to do a Carols by Candlelight this year, the big one.
And I'm so excited about that. I've been looking forward to that for a long time. I mean, I've always wanted to do it. It's been something that's been in the back of my mind that I really hoped I could do one day, because I'm always sitting at home with my family watching it, so...
Mm.
I did Monash Christmas carols, and that was to 22,000 people. That was when I was about 22. So that's like, I've always wanted to do something like that again, you know? Something big.
Okay, it's going to be massive. It's been great. I mean, I could sit here and chat all day, but we really don't have the time. I know you've got a busy schedule, and you're off to Mirrabooka Square Shopping Centre tonight.
Yes.
6 p.m. You're going to be down there. You're going to be performing?
Yes, I am. I'm going to be performing with my keyboard and singing a few tunes, and then doing a signing.
Okay, so if people want to meet you, that's the place to go tonight. But it's been so good chatting to you. I must admit, I can't let you go without playing this song. This is off the Winner's Journey, and this comes from Big Band Night. So thanks for spending time with us.
Thanks for having me.
It's been great.
Thanks a lot.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.